everybody out there in VBS Radio Land. This is Terry Brown, introducing you to the Wind Free Radio Show, Monday night at 6 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. It's good to talk to everybody out there. Wind is setting up the simulcast right now and will be with us in a minute. We have a conference call line where people are on the conference call line around the world. And also people are on VBS Radio. These are recorded and people listen also at later times. Those on VBS Radio can get the recording by subscribing to VBS Radio. And those that subscribe to Wind's channel, the Spirit channel, can get the transcriptions and can get the audio by their subscription, and they get it with an email. So, we're broadcasting tonight from Sedona, Arizona, and it's dark here, and it's been very, very good weather, and we're happy to have everybody here. My name is Terry Brown, and often I do a channeling on the show wherein I never know what's going to be presented beforehand. And then I prefer it that way, because then I don't try to think about it beforehand, because I'm channeling the answer. So I'm essentially a pipeline from the interdimensional sources, which describe themselves as a combination of part of the Elohim soul group and the Ra soul group. So this has been a very exciting adventure for me, because I'm getting to know answers to questions and to see things, situations, truth, from a higher standpoint. By higher, I don't mean better. I mean it's a higher frequency and it has a broader knowledge of what's going on. So that as I've been a part of this, I've seen how much being in the third density makes a sort of an impression on the soul that's going through the journey in the third density. And what the difference is between a soul that never came into the third density and their reference points, and someone that has been here, can be in the lessons that are being learned by individuals that do come into the third density. Yeah, now are you on the line yet?
I'm on the line.
All right, I'll pass it over to your host, Winfrey.
Now, what have you been talking about? Hang on a second, we'll see if the conference call actually should be.
There are two moderators and three participants on the call.
Okay, hang on.
Entry and exit chimes are off.
Those are participants from the conference call line, and then we aren't sure how many there are on VBS Radio right now.
Yeah. Hi, everybody on the conference call line. Can you guys hear me?
Yes, Vin. Are you recording yet?
No. I haven't gotten profound yet. Let me see here. Hang on a second. Let me start the recording.
Please enter your PIN followed by pound.
Uh-oh.
Please wait. You are not authorized to start a recording at this time. Please contact customer service if you need assistance.
Now everybody knows I have stubby thumbs. Hang on.
Please enter your PIN followed by pound.
I did it again.
Please wait. You are not authorized to start a recording at this time. Please contact customer service if you need assistance.
We are live on BBS already, I believe.
We're live on BBS.
Yes, we are. We are live on BBS.
We're going to get this recording going in just 1 second.
Please enter your PIN followed by pound. Please wait. This conference is now being recorded.
Welcome, everybody. This is Monday, December 6th. My name is Lynn Frey, and I have my co-host, Terry Brown. And this is our Monday night conference call where we explore different topics and we have different kinds of things that we do on Monday. That's kind of a A potpourri of different. And
all callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
And we've been doing this for a while. And I guess what's interesting about it is that we do live on the call conversations with an interdimensional source that Terry is able to bring forth. And usually they ask for me to ask questions. And of course, this has been going on for 8 years, and it started out with me in a room with someone else who said, those guys want to talk to you. And we brought it to the place where we actually do it live 3 times a week. And have these conversations so that you can listen in and, well, you can listen in and decide if it's real. You can decide if the information is important. And probably most important of all these calls is that the sources that we talk to explain themselves in a certain way. They say they're group souls that exist at the beginning of creation. Now, what does that mean, to exist at the beginning of creation? Well, something that humans don't usually think about is time. What is time? We take for granted time as being an absolute thing that we all are trapped in, if trapped is the right word, or that we exist in. And time moves at a certain speed. Clocks are very aligned, so it's always the same time everywhere, except for time zones. When it's 7:45 here, it's 7:45 somewhere else, and 7:45 somewhere else. So we take it for granted that time is somewhat absolute, except that science, and starting with Einstein, proved that time was not absolute, that it was arbitrary. And what Einstein proved it. What he did in his equations was he indicated that if you moved fast enough, time would move at a different speed. So, for example, if there was a vehicle, a spaceship, that took off from Earth and could travel very fast, approaching the speed of light, then the people on that spaceship, when they returned to Earth, would have not aged in the same way that people on Earth had aged. For them, they may have been gone for a few hours, and time would have been going on Earth for maybe 80 years or 60 years or who knows what. So if that's true, that opens a whole new way of thinking about time. And in 3D science, in third-dimensional science, which is the science of this planet, it's generally accepted that nothing moves faster than the speed of light, which is 186,000 miles per second. That's pretty fast. But what if in other dimensions, time moves faster than the speed of light? I don't know if you can prove that scientifically, so we can postulate it, since we don't know all the answers, because I believe our sources would say that there are dimensions existing that move faster than the speed of light, and that where we exist right now in our physical bodies, we may be experiencing time in 3D. But around us, right in our space right now, there are dimensions that might be moving at different timelines. Now we're not talking about a physical object moving. We're talking about a dimension that moves so fast. But of course, if you're in that dimension, if you have a consciousness in that dimension, you don't experience yourself moving fast. For example, if you were in an airplane that's moving very fast, when you're on the plane, you don't experience yourself as moving fast until you look at a reference point, which would be the ground, and suddenly you can see, oh my God, there is the physical Earth, and look how fast I'm moving. So when you exist in another timeline, I don't imagine, no matter how fast it moves, your experience of that timeline doesn't seem fast unless you look at something that's moving slow. And we have a whole universe, and we see the universe in terms of third dimension and physical objects. But there are many things in the universe that we can't see. And so we have to speculate, because we are talking to a source through Terry that early on said they existed outside of time. And their exact words were that they could jump in and out of time like a swimming pool, like we would jump into a swimming pool. So they can somehow slow themselves down to move into our dimension. And when they do, we speed ourselves up and we experience something. Those people that have been on the calls regularly, many of them have had this experience of this unusual energy. In fact, one of the things you might notice on these calls, some of you, is how quickly time passes when we're on a call. Even when it's 2 hours or a Sunday grid healing, an hour and a half, there's an experience of time moving fast. Now, my thinking is that when someone is in this realm and time moves fast, part of their consciousness actually moved into a dimension where time was moving at a different rate than this realm. And the way we experience that is by time moving fast. And on the other hand, there are times in your life, everyone's had these times, when we experience time moving slow. For example, if you're very lonely, time moves slow. If you're in pain, time moves slowly. So we have this subjective reference point of time moving at different speeds, and I'm making the hypothesis that part of that is due to our own consciousness accessing other dimensions and making our perception of time different. So in these conversations that we have with our sources, we have the ability and we ask questions about how it is to be them and how they look at our universe. And in the past, many times, I've asked questions, and part of it was because I was curious, and part of it was because I was testing the whole communication and seeing how they would answer something, particularly when it was something that it was so far removed from Terry's ability to answer that I would get the answer and say, that couldn't possibly have come from Terry. Now, did I know it was the correct answer? No, I didn't know. I knew it was an answer, and I knew it made sense. There was aspects of the answer that made sense. But you have to leave the question begging, and everyone has to decide, is that a correct answer? One of the pluses in hearing these kinds of understandings that seems to work is that many of us, many of the people who are attracted to this material have had previous experiences in other timelines. They've existed in other timelines. And they made a choice to come into this realm, some of them probably out of curiosity to see what it felt like to be here, and others to be of service, which is what Ra group calls wanderers and the Elohim group calls starseeds. They've chosen to take incarnations in this timeline, knowing that once they were in this timeline, they wouldn't remember that they made that choice. And they would have to figure it out, or something would have to wake them up. So sometimes misinformation is particularly compelling to a person who had done that. Because if a person had come into this realm from another timeline, and chosen to be here to volunteer, then they might have the potential, if they could wake up to the timeline, to bridge the energies of those timelines into this realm, which would then enliven the vibration of this realm, which is what our sources do when they say they project love, light, energy into this realm. And, of course, those are just words, except many of you have had that experience. In fact, many of you, it's becoming more and more ordinary to say, oh, I can feel that energy. I can feel that frequency. So today I had picked a topic. And I picked a topic because actually a topic had come up in conversation. Now, I never tell Terry what I'm going to be asking. And so it will be interesting to see if the if the, what's the word here, if the structure of our own personality system, our own mental structure, can bring through information on this topic. I know there were times when I've asked questions to Terry, and they said, oh, God, we wish Daphne was here. Daphne has a better vocabulary. But Terry's been getting pretty good, and somehow these things manage it to come through. And so I don't know if I should say the topic now, or should I do it after I call in the light? What do you think, Terry?
Why don't you do it after?
After. You don't have to worry about it, right?
Right.
Yeah. Now, you know, when Terry brings through this information, she has different experiences, and it somewhat is akin to the way Carla Ruckert describes it. And she talks about, I have to go deeper to get that. Apparently, it's easiest when the information does not access knowledge that's very far removed from Terry's conscious mind. And then she is awake and aware when she brings the information through, and it's collaboration. And on certain topics, she says, wait, I have to go deeper. And Terry, when you go deeper, what is your experience of going deeper? Do you have less memory of what you say when you go deeper?
I do. I have to get out of the way. And then what comes through, I have less memory of it the deeper I go.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know if you'll have to go deeper for this. And maybe sometimes you can't go deeper, right? You can't... Other times when you don't seem to be able to...
I just have no comprehension of the word at any level. I can't access anything. It's like, if I could go deep enough, I could, you know, and they could just come through. I could probably even do it in Russian or something, or, you know, that I didn't understand. But still, at this time, I can't go that deep except occasionally, you know, for a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of like the time they said hello to Batool on the line. You know, Terry never heard that word before. And Batool was in Turkey, and we never even knew she existed, except that she was listening to our calls. Hi, Batool, if you're listening. And the next day I get an email.
We didn't even know she was listening to the call. I'd never heard of her before. And all of a sudden came over me this really warm, wonderful feeling that they wanted to say hello to somebody, and all of a sudden I didn't know what I was saying.
Right. Now, over time, we got a bit of information about the tool that maybe was indicative of why they did that. Because the tool is an artist, and she's also a student of something called reconnection, which is a technique by Eric Pearl. And a couple of years ago, I was... at a fair, and there was this woman next to me who was doing reconnection on people. And it was kind of like, I guess you could put it in the same category as Reiki or energy transference from one person to another, but it's a very high kind of energy transference and balancing. And as this woman was doing this, when people that would walk by her booth, I could feel her energy and she could feel my energy. And in a channeling, in a question that we did a couple of weeks ago, they had said the guy that started this reconnection was, I think they indicated he was like an Egyptian initiate connected to these energies, connected to the Law of One, and that it was just a different expression of the same energy. And so Batul was a practitioner of reconnection, so that she had a pretty high vibration, which they probably picked up like a clear signal. And it's why...
She had also translated for Eric Pearl, who's the starter of Reconnection, when he came into her country. And so she made the connection. And also, I attended a Reconnection weekend wherein there were three individuals in the room that were seeing the symbol of Ra over Eric Pearl's head. So what came through is the some of the Ra group is working with Eric Pearl in the healing work.
Yeah. So it's an indication as you lift your vibrations, as you start to move into this multidimensional awareness, it's easy for them to find you, so to speak. And so that's what we're doing on these calls. We're creating a space for everyone on the call to, if they want to be found, if you want to be noticed, it's probably easier to be noticed because we expand the energies on these calls and people feel it. So on that note, I'm going to call in the light. And when I call in the light, that's just my little invocation for creating a oneness energy, for creating a multidimensional consciousness of everyone on the call. And, of course, it's free will, so you can just listen with your mind. And oftentimes when people first come into these calls, that's their emphasis. They want to try to understand in their mind. And that's an important part of the process because we're opening ourselves up to energies, and your mind should make the decision that you are comfortable with opening up to those energies, that it feels safe, and that it feels positive. And some people can intuitively get that right away, and other people take some time to say, okay, I'm open. Because the energies are not going to connect with you until you're open. You have to come to that place out of your own choice because of the free will clause. And the way they operate is they're not going to impose on you energetically. Maybe they even can't do that. There has to be a reaching back on your part to connect with the energy. So, on that note, Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person on this call, and any negativity be taken to the higher realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the positive center of the universe through the galaxies, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of our planet, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group consciousness, a blending of energies, while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the Law of One, to join with us, participate with us, and we create a protected space that only the positive has access to, and anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have a source present?
Yes. This is December 6th, 2010. This is Ra on, and we greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. And we are aware of the subject of the difference in the experience of time. There is an instantaneous transfer of information where one is open to it, and one might say has an open channel and can tune in to the frequency on which the information is sent. There is some time delay. It is similar to a radio broadcast where the information is sent and within a short number of seconds, it is then received in the individual's radio. When we first came in to the conference calls, we were not used to the slowness within which the third density operated, as some of us were new to this experience, as we in the Elohim have not previously had bodies, and it became very aggravating. It tried our patience to simply wait for the ideas within the third density to move through the individual. And the experience of time within the third density being so slow, it was hard to wait for the outcome. However, also, we are very quick with instantaneous sometimes on comprehension. And so one had to wait for the comprehension to catch up in the third density. Do you have questions tonight?
Yes. First of all, in my preamble, was I describing things fairly accurately? As I reverse engineer things from the human level backwards. And so the idea that when a human experiences time moving quickly, that they're accessing a multidimensional expansion into the hologram where time is actually moving at a different rate, and vice versa when time moves slow. Is that kind of an act?
Yes. In the preamble to your calls, you catch everyone up to speed of the connection between Elohim and Ra, and the Ra is actually slower than the Elohim in time, as they still, even though they no longer have bodies, are experiencing the time of their past and have been influenced by it, by their time and their density, and carry with them some time lag. We, not having experienced life in the third density, are more instantaneous in transfer and the picking up of thought. So when the individuals unify and put their attention on the one unified source which contains our group, it does tend to bring the human up to more of the speed of thought and make them more psychically aware. There is within some of our calls the remote viewing of isolated locations, and those locations then transmit almost instantaneously through the group that is assembled on the call. And would the individuals look within the frequencies that then step all the way from the third density to our less density, then the individuals could, if they were free-flowing, be able to pick up more the frequencies at the same time and be able to actually see the remote locations that are being discussed.
Thank you. Would they actually see it or feel it?
They could actually see it once they became fluid and versed in the ability to see it through their development of the pineal gland that could then learn how to experience, even in the visual sense, the remote location.
Mm-hmm. When I first started having this experience with Daphne and we were communicating, there was something that I learned rather quickly that never ever crossed my mind, is that because in this communication, we are in the middle of, in human terms, I call it a matrix, a huge energy matrix, and that
yes,
there are many things in between us and you in that matrix. But when we start the communication, we bypass all those things and go right to the energy of the source. Except
that is correct.
In the communication, because we are in the matrix, if I would start talking about something, whatever I would talk about would suddenly be in the matrix as well. So I learned to be very careful. And sometimes people ask questions about some of the dark things out there, some of the negative things in the matrix. And that just by even saying that much, right at that moment, I could feel a shift in the energy, so I'm going to get out of it. But that in this kind of communication, you must be very careful about things you talk about, because everything you talk about, you then invite into your matrix. It's not, you can't just get the information, at least from this kind of source, out of curiosity, without inviting it into your matrix while you're getting the information. Am I accurate when I say that?
You're very accurate there. There is one good reason for bringing it into the matrix, and that is if you wish to purify it. Idle curiosity can bring down upon yourself undesired results, as it in this rarefied atmosphere, one can connect straight in to a dark source, and then that means that they are connected directly into you. And this matchup of frequencies can create an undesirable synchronicity. Therefore, even unaware people not on the call can bring in undesired results by simply idly looking at something in a curious manner and matching up with an undesired frequency of someone on the other end who is desiring to commit some crime and looking for some person who is open to being a victim. So such idle curiosity or such looking around at dark topics or dark things can bring in undesired results, and then one might say, geez, how did that ever happen?
Mm-hmm.
It is very fast. It is in the realm of close to instantaneous reception as the frequencies go beyond the spread of time and can bring something in very fast.
And so one thing is those people that overly make studies of some of the darker aspects of things. See, there's one aspect where you, at least myself, I needed to learn certain things in terms of my own discernment. But, you know, there are people that make particular attention to understanding how dark forces work. And there's a fine line between knowing what you need to know for discernment and then getting obsessed with going too deep into it. Because as you go deep into it and study it, I imagine that you open up the potentials for actually connecting with the energies, the negative energies that you would be studying. Am I accurate there?
Yes, that is correct. There's a whole technology of how to access something negative and still to not pull it in on oneself. If one has the correct intention of accessing it for the purification or the knowledge of how to further purify oneself, that intention of purification will protect one or will be on the line, on the communication line, and then the other won't consider it any longer as here's an optimum victim. They will consider it from a standpoint of there's no payback here for them unless they also are seeking in some way to purify themselves.
Mm-hmm. I would imagine it's possible for a negative, what would have been a negative source, to pay attention to the energies of what you're doing, what we're doing, and have some kind of shift even in themselves. Is that correct?
That is entirely possible, and it is, if the connection is done with fear and the feeling that one is going to be a victim, that will carry across the communication line and open one up to very poor consequences. One has the desire to purify and comes across with love and simply looking at what is there, then that will come across on the line, and the individual then, although subconsciously, may then also look at themselves and see their motivations and then be a little more open to change or know a little bit more about themselves.
Mm-hmm. Now, the exact topic that I announced tonight, I haven't even come to it yet. And I don't know what to expect in the answers, but I was going to ask questions about black holes and matter and antimatter. Can we discuss those topics with protection? Is there anything that would be negative in understanding them?
We can discuss those. We may need to go deeper, but we can give it a try here.
So I'll ask the opening question. What is a black hole, and how did they get started?
The black hole is the center, at the center of the spinning energy, where all of the forces from the spinningness of, say, a galaxy converge in one place and cancel out each other, and they end up being so heavy because of the forces that are projected on them that it moves into a reverse situation. And instead of, as when light is generated, of the transfer of electrons from one ring to another, and the coincidence of attention from all of the various spinningness in the outer ring of, say, the galaxy, or in the outer ring of a sun, or the sun projects light energy, radiant energy, but at the center of a galaxy, there is so much convergence of energies from the different directions that they cancel out instead of reinforcing, and they, as canceled, they do not put out light, but they have a tendency to absorb any radiant energy, and it gets put out much as a person would put their hand on a candle and damp the flame. So the black holes can also occur in situations in the outer rings of the galaxy where there is a situation of a spinningness that is so dense. For instance, they looked at the possibility of creating black holes in some of the little reactions within the collider. We do not have the name exactly right, in Switzerland, where spinningnesses end up in the center being so dense that all light is damped out.
Now, that was interesting because you talked about the potential for a black hole to be created by the will of intelligence. What has caused these black holes? What has caused these black holes in the universe to be?
They are a product of the original creation of the galaxy, and it is a product of how the universe is constructed.
So the Elohim were part of the creation of the black holes?
We could say that we were a part of the creation of the black holes. We see that beyond our influence, there is the influence of the laws wherein the universe abides by.
Now, what purpose do black holes play in the balancing of the universe?
It is a balancing, a grounding, and a stabilization at the center of the each galaxy, and in the stabilization of any unique interactions that may set up a similar circumstance in the outer area of a galaxy.
Now, does each galaxy have a black hole as part of its creation?
Yes, at the center. It is a function of the spinningness. Now, let us see. If there was a cloud of gases that were not generally spinning, that would not necessarily have a black hole at the center.
So when we talk about the Hu-Nab-Ku sometimes as the center of our galaxy, is the Hu-Nab-Ku
yes.
a black hole?
Yes, it is.
So it's not really negative, then. It's part of creation. It's part of the architecture of what makes a galaxy hold together.
That is correct. It is part of all that is and how things are constructed. And it makes the stabilization of the outer rings.
I see. Now, if one was traveling in a spaceship, could one then travel into a black hole and then get lost and disappear?
If one is making a spaceship that is going to go into the center of a galaxy, one may lose the crew and the ship, as it would be crushed in the denseness.
I see. Well, in consciousness, when we think of something, we have the potential then to align our consciousness with what we think of. For example, if we think of the sun, I mean, we had some unusual things through Daphne where Jupiter spoke to me one time and said this was the consciousness of Jupiter, or this was the solar logos. Was that actually happening? Was I actually talking to the consciousness of those locations?
Yes, you were, and they do have a consciousness, as you do have Jupiter spinning, and as Jupiter spins, then there are consciousnesses that, by virtue of the spinning, and they are very large, they manifest and then take responsibility for the denser manifestation of matter, and there are individuals who station themselves, a very large spirit, that station themselves and give themselves authority. They are created by the spinningness, and then they have an assignment themselves and feel responsible for what is manifested within them. So in the earth plane, you also have spirits that have assigned areas that they watch over, and it is their job, their self-assigned job, to be responsible for the area, and they are very caring and dedicated to their work. And there is an overall consciousness that is responsible for Earth. And it is very frustrating when one is not able to follow a trajectory of projection, as when an atom bomb is dropped and has created a sickening confusion of identities and matrices dissolving within an area, and it is very hard and very saddening for some of these spirits who are stationed over war zones, and then they get negatively impulsed and very sad, and the majority of them still carry on to do the best that they can.
Mm-hmm. Since a human can align with Jupiter or the energies of Jupiter, what is it in a human? What part of a human connects with a black hole? If there is a... Okay, we have to leave at 7:53, and we're going over, and we just got into it. So this will be another conversation we have to continue. Thank you all for listening. Thank you, Terry. Thank you, everyone who's helping to support this, and we will see you Wednesday when we answer your question.
I didn't know.
Press 1 to stop recording this conference. This conference is no longer being recorded.